Appreciate that singing, John. Appreciate the leading. And also, John, we appreciate the work you do with the kids. I don't know if we say that enough to you, but we do appreciate that. And it's great to be up here and see the young people that are participating and answering the questions. And I'm thinking, do I know that answer? And they'll have it popped out of their mouth before I can even think about it. And that's wonderful, too. And John, we appreciate your work with them and appreciate the young people for being here tonight and everyone else joining in the singing. I hope that you enjoyed the food today and then had a good nap and are ready to study tonight, because we're going to dive into some very important aspects of Scripture. Nathaniel, that TV back there is popping on and off. Would you flip over to the computer, then back to the TV? This will take just a minute, but I think we'll be able to manage this. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Acts chapter 15. We're going to be looking at some verses from that chapter tonight, because we're going to be talking about tonight God's guardians. Now, how many of you, when you've heard that word guardian, thought of the Guardians of the Galaxy? I think that was a movie series, and I don't believe I ever watched it, but I know some of the younger people probably are into things like that, and they get a concept of that word. But we're going to look at it in a different sense, in what it really means in reference to the Scripture. And so as you think about the guardians, God has designed that there be guardians for the church. And I'm excited to be able to speak about that tonight. But let's think about guardians in the sense that it was known in the day and time, not in modern times like Guardians of the Galaxy, but guardians in reference to biblical times. For the guardians of biblical times were primarily the shepherds. Their job was a very distinct, defined job. And it was a tremendous job to do because of what it required of those who took it upon themselves to say, I will be the guardian of the sheep. The guardian of the sheep would spend the time that the sheep were sent on their grazing to forage for food. The guardians of those sheep were those people who were shepherding them day and night. They would follow the sheep from one grazing place to another. And they were there to do exactly what the first part of that word means. That means guard the sheep. When you look at Luke chapter 11 and verse 21, it speaks of a guard. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. The sheep that went upon the mountains to forage for food from one pasture to the next did so with guardians who were entrusted with their care. But a part of that care was to make sure that they did not have the enemy coming into the flock to destroy the sheep. And so those shepherds were awake day and night in order to guard those sheep, to protect them so that they could have peace. Now, when you look at that word guard in the original language that's used in chapter 11 and verse 21, it is an interesting word because it means to have an eye on. And so these guardians were those who had their eye on the sheep. And so they were giving them uninterrupted vigilance. They were watching those flocks. It's interesting that the noun part of that word is used in reference to, obviously, military guard, but also you'll see it throughout the Scripture in reference to those shepherds who have the job of guarding the sheep. What does it mean? What does all this boil down to? Is those guardians were those who kept their eyes upon the sheep. And that's exactly what you see here. You have a shepherd who is watching his flock. He's guarding his flock. But I want you to notice, as you look at the picture, what else do you see? You see a border guard. And actually what this picture is an Israeli border guard who is there at the border. And then we have the shepherd who is grazing the sheep. And the sheep go where there's obviously grass. And what I want you to notice, I don't know if you can see this or not, but you can tell that both of those shepherds, both of those guardians, are doing their job. Look at the ground. Where the sheep are, what do you see when it comes to grass? It looks like somebody's been mown like Ron Peck. It's mowed down. Why? Because the sheep are grazing on that grass. But look where the guard is, or just behind him. What do you see? The sheep have not gone there. That guardian of the border, that Israeli guard, is doing his job. He's preventing the sheep from crossing over and coming across the border. So both of these guardians are at work. But we don't often see that in this country. We see guards, and of course, they guard and protect various properties and so forth. But when we think of guardians in our world, at least, this is what comes at least to my mind. And for those of you that have taken upon yourself to render care to a number of children this age, you know you have to be exactly what the word implies. Someone who does not take their eye off of what they're guarding. Because you turn your eye off of these kids for just a minute or two, and what are these kids liable to do? Anything they want. Right? They can disappear just like that. I always was amused when teachers put the young children in line at school to take them to lunch or where out to recess. It was amazing, even though she would line them up and she would have them all together, as soon as she was distracted, there would be a little one taken off. You have to keep an eye constantly upon these children. And so there, in the literal sense, are the guardians. Now, as we go to Acts 20, verse 17, as a reminder, Scripture says that from Miletus, the Apostle Paul sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. He is calling for the guardians of the flock. He's calling for the shepherds. We know that from Acts 20 and verse 28. Paul would speak to them and say to them, "Therefore take heed yourselves unto all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church." Those overseers, those guardians, have the job of not taking their eyes off of the flock. They have the job of overseeing the flock. They have the responsibility of being the guardians of the flock of God, which is the church. In Acts chapter 20, verse 31, look at these words. Paul speaks to these shepherds and says, "Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn you, and how everyone night and day with tears." Therefore watch. Shepherds are given the job of watching. Now, when you go to Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, you read these words. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, and what are these shepherds doing? Keeping watch over the flock by night." Now, it will be no surprise that the word "watch" here is a word which means to guard. Now, what is somewhat of a surprise is that in this passage of Scripture, the word "watch" is a noun, not a verb. They that are shepherds are those who watch or have the watch or take upon themselves the job of the watchman to guard or oversee the flock. They are literally on duty as a sentinel. They are on duty as that military guard, or as the shepherd in the field, to make sure they watch and do not take their eyes off of that flock. We go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. We're encouraged by the writer of Hebrews to obey those who have the rule over you and be submissive. And then it tells us, "For they have the watch, for they watch out for your souls." Just as the shepherd watches, keeps his eye fixed upon the flock to prevent them from coming to harm, so also those who are elders of the church, those shepherds, have that great responsibility of watching out for souls as those who must give account. That word here, "watch," is not the same one that we read about in Luke chapter 2, for example. This word is, though, an important word, because it is a word which means they do not sleep. In fact, the first part of the word is a negative, the not, and the second part is a word, hypnos. We've probably heard of that word, hypnosis, before, at least the English use of part of that word, but it means they do not sleep. Even though it's a different word, you see the connection. Those who have responsibility for the flock of God, those who are entrusted as being the guardians, God's guardians, have the job of not sleeping. The folks that would read this would understand, because they knew about the shepherds and how that the shepherds were always on the alert, how they were vigilant. And also a part of this word is means that they do not take time off. And of course, that's essential to understand. A shepherd is given the responsibility of watching the flock, and he doesn't necessarily get the day off like we would think, because he has a job. He's with those sheep, and it's a 24/7 job. And that's why oftentimes they would send out multiple sheep herders who would be able to help each other out. But think about that single sheep herder. He would have a problem. It's interesting that God, in His wisdom, designed the church to have multiple men who serve as shepherds of the flock. Because truly, it's a job where you can't take time off. It's a job that is ongoing because they watch for the soul. Just like the shepherd here, it's getting dark. He's got a huge flock. And if he's just by himself, it'd be difficult. It takes multiple shepherds in a situation like this where they're grazing in the valleys and the mountains to be able to watch closely that flock. And here's the why. Here is the why. Here's the why there needs to be guardians, because those shepherds are guardians of the flock against the enemy. And of course, who is the enemy? We know it's Satan ultimately. But it mentions in Acts chapter 20, the savage wolves, verse 29. Paul warns the elders, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." Therefore, it is essential that those shepherds be vigilant as guardians of the flock. Jesus helps us understand this when you look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. For he says, "Beware of false prophets." Who's a false prophet? The word prophet simply means mouthpiece. They're mouths that speak that which is not true. And what do? They come in sheep's clothing, Jesus says. But look what he says about these that do so. They are inwardly ravenous wolves. And what do these wolves do when they enter into a flock of sheep? They desecrate as many as possible. They try to destroy. You've ever seen a pack of dogs work against some animals, maybe cattle or other types of animals? They'll go after them and they slaughter as much as they can. And when you take a wolf, it's designed to eat, of course, but it's also designed to kill. And that's what it likes to do. But there is in place, and should be in place, God's guardians. They should be at work to protect the flock day and night. They do not take their eyes off the flock. So if you would look at Acts chapter 15, verse 1. Scripture says, "And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." So we got some brethren who have come forth from Jerusalem saying, or from Judea saying, you have to be circumcised in order to be saved. This creates a problem because they are actually the source of the false doctrine. They are the sheep, the wolves in sheep clothing. And they are there to destroy. How are they going to destroy? They're teaching that which is a false doctrine. And that is destructive. So what happens? Look at verse 2. "Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question." Note that we read about apostles and elders. And they are going to be presented with something very serious. It's going to be a question about doctrine. And it is a serious doctrine because it calls into question what does it take in order to be saved. And so it's time for guardians to act. So when they came to Jerusalem, verse 4, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders. It is significant that we read of the plurality, isn't it? And they report all things that God had done with them. And then it goes on. Verse 5. And what we have in verse 5 is a revealing of the wolves. Look at verse 5. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up, saying it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now, as you look at this, you see who those wolves are. Where are they at? They're among the sheepfold. But they're wolves in sheep's clothing. Why so? Because they're teaching a false doctrine. And they're saying it is necessary to command them to keep the law of Moses. And we know from reading Paul's letters, we know from what we understand about the change in the covenants, this truly is a false teaching. And so these wolves make themselves known. Now, when we look at verse 6, we see how important it is to have those guardians. Now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. One little verse means a whole lot. This verse sets a pattern that all elders, those who choose to shepherd the church of our Lord, need to follow. Because what clearly is said, the apostles and the elders came together to consider the matter. When you look up that word consider, it is a very important word. That means they examine it. It really comes from the concept of looking up and down in careful examination. So they want to consider. And so what happens? They are coming together to consider the matter. So we have that body of elders along with the apostles who are together to consider. And that is important. Now today, we do not have apostles. They have passed on. But thankfully, we have what is written. This is the message from the Spirit of God, the words of the apostles. And so we have the apostles' doctrine. And then we think about this, we have the church elders, plural. And so they come together for consideration. And therefore, we have a method by which they are considering. They come together to consider the matter. Therefore, they are in action together. Today, we don't have apostles that we can call and sit together in a room with to meet with. We have elders. And that's why God wants for us to have elders. That is why, in order to set in order things that are proper, men are selected who are qualified to serve as that plurality of men who come together with God's Word to consider. And that they did. Look at verse 24. We read, since we have heard that some of you who went out from us have troubled you with words, or some of us who went out from among us have troubled you with words, and notice what the passage says, unsettling your souls. So what is heard? That some who went out from among us have troubled you with words. Words are powerful, aren't they? We probably all know that one of the things that gets us in trouble the most with those we love is the mouth. Or we can say it a different way, the tongue. It's not the mouth. The mouth can be used for good, like eating this afternoon when we had our fellowship dinner. But what do we have to guard? Of course, our words. These men who came from Judea came to speak words. But they were destructive words. They were words that caused trouble. They were like the sea tossed to and fro. They destroyed the peace of the brethren. And notice he says, unsettling your souls. And this affected them spiritually. Why? Because they were teaching a doctrine that was a false doctrine. What were they teaching? That you must be circumcised and keep the law. But notice what is said after they considered, they consulted what was given to them under inspiration, like we would the apostles' teaching in the book. And then they come to this conclusion, God gave no such commandment. The job of the elders is to determine the words and what they mean and what is being said, to make sure that the flock is guarded, that it's protected, and they are on the job vigilant as those who do not sleep. They're watching over the flock to make sure that the Word of God and the truth is upheld. Because there are folks who want to come in and distort the doctrine of Christ and teach things that the Lord did not give the apostles. To distort those things that were given to them and to teach things contrary to sound doctrine. And clearly as we look at this case, their conclusion was right. God did not give that commandment. The Spirit did not direct anybody to speak that commandment. The very concept of binding circumcision on the Gentiles and requiring Christians to keep the law was false teaching. And clearly, as you look at the Scripture, the Bible says here, to whom we gave no such commandment. Then, verse 28, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. You see, God's very much involved in the work of the Spirit was to bring forth the truth, to inspire the man who ended up writing the New Testament. And so clearly, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit. Then it says to us, to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. I don't know if you can see the point clearly or not in blue, but I want to make sure we remember it. Elders, shepherds of the flock, must always be in agreement with the inspired words of the Holy Spirit contained in the New Testament. Amen. That's right. Folks, be weary when someone says, well, I think it means this. Now, those can be good words if they have done what? If they have consulted the apostles' doctrine. If they have consulted the inspired word that God has given us. And for those who choose to serve, we truly honor the very nature of the fact that men will choose to serve because they know that's what God wants from them. But we want to encourage them that choose to serve that they always remember that they must be in agreement with the inspired words of the Holy Spirit contained in the New Testament. That's why elders and the qualifications, which we'll talk about later, in the qualifications, we learn they're not to be novice. They're to be those who have used the Word, applied it, and learned the Word, and have the ability to be able to stand up against those who would come in and try or seek to destroy the flock. In fact, in Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking. Point those elders in every city as I commanded you. Then go down to verse 9 if you're in chapter 1. Or just look on the slide. Paul goes on and he writes to Titus and says, these men, those who serve as elders, what's their job? They're holding fast the faithful word as has been taught, that those men, elders, may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. And here in Acts 15, what do we have? We have men who took it upon themselves to contradict the plain, simple, sound teaching, the sound doctrine that God had given. And so it's made clear that God did not give that command. And then he goes on in Titus chapter 1, begin verse 10, and he describes those who are these false teachers, those who are the wolves in sheep's clothing. For there are many, he says, insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers. Remember, what are they getting in trouble for? Using their tongues. But how are they using their tongues? In a way that is destructive to the flock. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. And he says, especially those of the circumcision. And that's what we're reading about, isn't it, in Acts 15? Those who want to bind the law and circumcision. Who do what? Who subvert whole households. Teaching things which they, notice what it says, ought not. What are they teaching? They're teaching not God's Word. They're teaching, false doctrine. Doctrine that comes from them. And notice he says there's a motive behind it. For the sake of dishonest gain. And that is significant. Because those teachers were trying to get a following. Just like Paul in Acts 20 warned the elders that some of them would arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples. For those who were successful in drawing away disciples, they could create a following that would support them. They would be seen as the authoritarian teacher who was worthy of support. And so they would do it not for the right reason, but for dishonest gain, Paul writes here. Then he goes on, verse 13, therefore rebuke them sharply. And they need to be, because they are dangerous to the flock. No shepherd would want those wolves among the sheep. And so he says, therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. And that's the purpose of their rebuke. Not to just be mean. They are to rebuke them in such a way as to make sure the flock is protected. And that those who are teaching false doctrine do repent and become sound in the faith. Verse 14, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. So those guardians are required. God wants those who are able and have the skill to be guardians of the church. As Hebrews 13, verse 17 says, for they watch out for your souls. It's spiritually significant. And it's eternally significant. Because if false teachers can draw away disciples after them and take them away from the truth of God's Word, Satan wins. But God says no. They said no in Acts chapter 15. No, this is not the commandments of God. And people who follow anything for salvation other than the commandments of the Almighty God, that which is written in this book, beware. Because eternity is at stake. And that's the problem with false teachers. It derails people from their goal of trying to go to heaven. Therefore, the church needs God's guardians and, of course, people committed to the shepherd, the chief shepherd. And I love what John 10, verse 10 records, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Think about, why would a shepherd stay awake, live day to day, night to night, guarding the flock? Because it's about what's at stake. And Jesus was that shepherd willing to lay down his life. And sheep need the shepherd. Tonight, what about you? Do you need Jesus in your life? Have you turned a different way than from following the chief shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ? Tonight, we're going to stand, we're going to sing an invitation song. John's going to lead us, but we have to ask this question. Is Jesus the shepherd in your life? I hope he is, but if not, then why not tonight decide to make a change in your direction? Why not commit yourself to daily following Jesus? Please consider this carefully. Is Jesus the shepherd in your life? As we stand and sing, if you have need, make that known, and why not come?